And I think again.
Okay, it's I'm sure okay. It's working. Okay. I'm going to come a little closer for a minute, just because that's the microphone. This is September 20th, 2007. We're interviewing Welton Parker in his home in, is this considered Truesdale or felt Truesdale? Joan Weaver of the Kinsley Library and Rosetta Graff are the interviewers, and that's, okay, we may say our questions loud so they'll pick up on your microphone, I hope.
I've got it set pretty loud.
Well, I mean this thing that we gave you, so
okay.
That we
okay.
Get picked up on that. I don't know, you want to just start out telling us about, did your parents come here, or how your family got to this area?
Well, my grandfather on my dad's side, they came from Broomfield, Iowa, and they brought their stock in one freight car, and then the other freight, they had two freight cars, and the other freight car was divided with the furniture and where they stayed in the trip, and they came to Caldwell, Kansas. And there was five children at that time. The oldest one was Mrs. Abe Fisher, Lily Fisher, and Ori Fisher, Mrs. Clifford Fisher, and Ollie Newsom, Walter Newsom's wife at Centerview, and Evie Lauber. That's lived Charlie Lauber, north of Kinsley's wife, and then as a boy born at Caldwell, that was Orville Parker.
What then was your grandfather's name, your grandmother?
William F. William Francis, and his wife's name was Sarah. She was a Lying, her maiden name, and after they was in Caldwell for a year, they visited up at Iuka, had a family at Iuka, and they convinced them to stay there for a year.
About what year was this?
That was probably in about 1884, I think, because they came here in 1885, and they was headed, as I recall, they wanted to homestead some land on the Solomon River, and they came to this place, and there was 20 acres of trees on the west end of this quarter as a tree claim, and they wanted to stay all night in those trees and camp out. And it was a family who lived just a quarter mile south of the northwest corner, and there's a people named the Shannons. They went down there to ask permission if they could stay in those trees. And Mr. Shannon said, well, wouldn't know where he was going, and he told him. And he said, well, I think you could buy this place here. People by the name of McCarty owns it, and I think we need young families like yours here. And so next morning, he went up, and I think his name was Silas McCarty. I'm not sure on the, but it's where Paul Airy lives. Monty Smith has that place now. And he bought that place with traded cows for it. And so then he, that was
how big was that?
That was in 1885.
How many acres?
It was 160 acres.
And he bought it with cows?
Yeah. And he, first year or so, he did about anything to try to make a living. They planted some corn and raised a little bit of corn, but he had horses and he was using them to haul freight from Pratt to Larned. This story goes that there was three wagons of them from Pratt to Larned, and it was rained on them all the way. It was cold. And Grandpa had his family here, and just had a little old shack with footboards up and down. And he knew they didn't have any fuel much. So he's kind of wondering about the weather. So only way he had to get any weather, he went to the depot and they had to telegraph. And it was forecasting one of the awfulest blizzards they ever had. And so he unloaded his freight and scooped on half a ton of coal on his wagon, put his horses away, and then he went to bed, and woke up early and got his horses around. It was beginning to snow. So he headed out, but he got a little jug of whiskey. He knew back then that was pretty important if he got out, caught out in a blizzard. So he started out, and it just kept getting worse and worse and worse. And the old road back then was a mile west of where the road is to Belpre now. There was no trail through there. And right up by where Larry Adams lives now, there's a big depression, kind of a dry lake. And when he got there, that's where he got stuck with his horses. And so he unhooked his horses, but he took a swig of whiskey, first swig of whiskey. When he unhooked his horses, and he drove his horses to break a track through the snow, went back and hooked up, and got through that place. And then it was blowing so that he just kind of wrapped the lands up and tried to keep warm, and thought it was just a drifting. But went on, and finally he felt the wind calm all at once, and he kind of come to, and the horses had found their way home. And he had an old barn straw loft barn, or roof barn, it kind of for a little shelter. And he didn't know what he'd find when he went to the house, but he'd forgotten he'd snapped a half of a wagon box full of corn before he went on his trip. And Grandma had all the kids around a hot pot-bellied stove inside the little shack, and she was pushing that corn in that stove, keeping them warm. She had the blankets all around them, and they was warm as toast. But he probably wouldn't have made it if it hadn't had to drive, thinking that he had to get rescue that family. But, and that was kind of his, that was in 1886, and that was the year my dad was born. And April 23rd was his birthday.
And so, his name was?
Russell Alfonso Parker.
The blizzard of 1886 was that terrible blizzard where you couldn't get through on the railroad, and people lost their cattle.
That was supposed to have been about the worst blizzard there was for a long, long time. I don't know whether they have any records, and now they may have some that's just as bad. But.
Well, many ranchers went broke because they lost their herd. But at this point, he didn't have cattle. He was just growing crops. I mean,
well, I think, they had cattle. Had some cattle and stuff. But as I recall, Granddad had mules, work mules. Now the Fishers that live just west here a mile, they had oxen. They broke this quarter north of my house with oxen, a yoke of oxen. It's old about Fisher kids that when he was breaking that, the old oxen would get tired and had those little buffalo walls, and they'd just take off and want to go over there to stand in that water. They'd gather every rock they could find, you know, and try to throw at them, try to get them out of there, keep get them going again. But,
just keep going. Tell us your story. You're a good storyteller.
Well, I don't know. My grandparents had 13 children. It was 10 of them grew up to adulthood, and they, of course, back then they married neighbors, and two of the Parker boys married Kuykendall women, and two of the Fisher boys married Parker girls, and so it's well, I had quite a few relatives around here, but we don't have very many anymore. They've pretty well left the country, most of them.
Did they build a sod house, or did they cut down some of the timber claim and build
a big
thing?
No, they didn't. My father's family, they lived in a little, had some boards and stuff, foot boards, they said, that they made a little shack out of it that they lived in. It's a little room, one-room place. And now my mother's family, the Kuykendalls and Smiths, they came from Terre Haute, Indiana. They came to Hutchison, stayed for just a short time in south of Hutchison, and then they moved 12 miles south of Kinsley in the Wendell neighborhood, and they proved up on my great-grandpa's Smith on one quarter, and my grandpa Kuykendall on the other quarter, and they both made sod houses in the middle of each quarter. And they they lived like that for a while, and then my great-grandpa Smith bought a place over here in Franklin Township, south east of Fellsburg, and it had a little frame building on it and kind of proved up. And my grandpa Kuykendall, there was five of them living in that little sod house. And so he traded his part of that half section to Grandpa Smith for the one he had over here at Fellsburg. And that's where my mother grew up, is the one of south of Fellsburg. Picture over there is my mother drew that from memory from the place where she grew up.
She looks like she was quite an artist.
Yeah, she did pretty good. And I thought, oh, Mom, that windmill, but that, I seen a photograph of that here not too long ago, and that's the way it looked. Back then, I think they kind of made their own windmills. And
anything that'd blow in the wind. Well, then, if there were 13 children in the family, a lot of those were girls, as I remember, but how did the farm, did your father get this part?
Yeah, my father inherited this each of the 10 children that was alive got, well, he had 15 quarters of land when he died in 1935, and each heir got 380s of land. And my dad got the home place with the, and my cousin Lola Young, Bethine Bender's mother, inherited this 180, which is just the northeast 80 of this half section. And I've later bought that from her. And, but,
and at that time, there was a farmhouse here and
yes.
a barn. We remarked, we assumed there was a barn out there at one time.
Well, there's this old barn that, that the shed is built on, too. That originated a half mile east. People by the name of White owned that quarter. And Grandpa bought that long about the turn of the century. And they moved that barn with horses. How they did it, I'll never know. I wished I could have quizzed a little more. But they got that barn up here, and that's always been the barn. So it's 100 years old up there. And, but back then there was a family on for near every quarter. That's the reason for that picture of the Truesdale School. That,
and then over the years, did your grandfather then, did he go into wheat and your father? And
yeah.
I mean, what was, what?
Well, he had it pretty rough, but in the stories I've heard that he, it was awful rough back then. At one time they had these old thrash machines, thrashing wheat and stuff, and they had, the newer thrash machines have conveyors that takes the wheat into the cylinders, but back then the pitchers pitched up on a platform, and there was a man with pegs in each hand. It was right over that separator, or the cylinder. He'd grab a hold of that and drag in and feed that cylinder. And he had that job, and he liked to die with dust pneumonia, they said. But,
well, it sounded like he put a lot of what he had into buying more land.
Yes. Yes. That was back, you know, in 35, it was just pretty, still pretty much in the Depression.
Well, how about the dust, the Depression and the dust storms and everything? Do you have any stories in that time period? Or?
Well, I was young, but I can remember the clouds coming up and the dust would be so thick you couldn't hardly see and couldn't hardly breathe, but it was nothing like it was, I'm sure, out west around Syracuse and Ulysses. And, but Johnson. But it gets so bad that sometimes I think they even just miss school because it's bad, just couldn't see to drive. But I can remember back in the 30s, too, we had so many jackrabbits. We had those jackrabbit drives and stuff. And it'd take about 6 square sections to then scatter out and beat on pans or something to kind of scare them out till they got up closer to the, then they had clubs and they'd try to keep them get by you. It's a little dangerous sometimes, and clubs, you had to kind of watch somebody, might get a little careless with a club.
Was there so many jackrabbits because the natural predators had been eliminated, the coyote, wolf, or whatever? Or?
Well, I don't know
there,
so much.
There have always been jackrabbits.
There was just, back then, it was just jackrabbits. I know, I think in that one book, Wichita Northwestern book, I think it tells about a fellow riding from Zook to Belpre, and he counted, I think it was in the 90s, just on one side of the track, and he's riding along. So they destroyed an awful lot of stuff. And it was dry back then, and things haven't grown too good. And of course, didn't have fertilizer or anything. The ground was newer then, and it just needed water more than anything.
So what do you remember about your childhood? I have brothers and sisters. How big was your family?
Yeah, I had three sisters that lived. I had one sister that died when I was only 3 years old.
Did she die? Was it a baby? Or?
No, she died. She was about 12 years old, I think. She died with heart trouble. But I was the youngest of the children. Had a sister, Cleone. She's married to Don Michael at Hutchison. Had a sister, Darlene. She married James Tandy. He was originally from Coldwater. And Goldie, my sister just older than I, she married Fountner Gifford. And they live in Yakima, Washington. Darlene's gone now, Darlene and Jim.
So what was your childhood like? What did you do?
Worked.
Worked. You were the youngest and the only boy.
Yeah. Well,
so you went to work early helping your dad, didn't you?
I was 9 years old when I started working in the field with horses. I can remember being, my first time in the field was, we drove, Dad had a boy, a sophomore in high school, working for him, and we of course farmed with horses back then, and we'd get up in the morning and feed the horses and get them in, feed them, and go and eat breakfast, and also milk cows. We always had a lot of cows to milk and feed hogs. But then after breakfast, we'd go hook the horses up, and usually they had little babies along, colts. Each one of us had four head of horses, and we came over what we call our 90 and 80. It's 3 miles from home. We'd had an old barrel in the back of the wagon that had water, and had a bucket we could water the horses at noon, and had a little feed in there we could feed them. But we had the colts halter broke, so we tied them up to the wagon while we was working during the day, or during morning, and at noon we had her dinner, but turn the colts loose and let them nurse.
And you took the dinner to the field?
Yeah. And then we'd work till it was cultivating corn with a cultivator, one row cultivator. It's kind of a long day. I don't imagine that was very good, because you had to use your feet to
Well, to 9 years old, and you were handling four horses?
Mm-hmm. And the fellow that was with me was only a sophomore in high school. So we had some responsibility back then.
And now the milk, was it only for family use, or did it go to
No, we separated the milk sold cream. And of course, always had hogs or bucket calves feed. And I always had it, well, back then, most everybody had about 20, 30 head of cow. About a pretty good sized herd then, back then. But whenever we weaned the calves off, a lot of times the old cows had never been milked, but we'd take them in and milk them as long as they get milk. Sometimes that was kind of fun. Got kicked across the barn a few times.
Now you had chickens too, I think.
Yeah, chickens.
Anything else?
Ducks. We had some ducks. We never did have turkeys, and neighbors had turkeys.
And no sheep.
No sheep. Not till I was, had an FFA project in high school. I had a little bunch of sheep. I got sickened out on them. We never did have them after that. All 12 years.
All 12 years in Truesdale. Okay. Yeah. You're the first person we've talked to that was in Truesdale all 12 years. So you got to school how?
I had a bus route. And back then, they ran usually 4 or 5 buses. And usually it was kids. High school kids that drove buses. They kept them on the farm, and it's usually first out on a route, and they just get up in the morning, start in, and gather them up as they come to school. And I've got a little book there. Well, it's a little, I don't know what you call it, a book. It's a after the old schoolhouse was tore down in shambles, I come across it, and it was, I just picked it up out there, and it's all rain-soaked and everything else, but it was all teacher salaries and superintendent salaries. I've got that over there, what you have, and bus drivers, I think they got $10 a month.
Well, that was quite a bit, actually.
Yeah. Teachers, I think Margaret Corey was my teacher back then, and she was an Arnsman, Mrs. Leo Arnsman, and Mrs. Strong's mother. And I think she got $90 a month, and she was the highest paid grade school teacher. The rest of them, I think, was either 80 or 75 a month. That was for 9 months.
What year did you graduate?
41.
Can you tell us a little bit about the school, what your activities were?
Well, we always had, in sports, we always had football, basketball in the wintertime, and track. And then we never did have baseball much other than 1 or 2 years. I had a little bit of baseball, but we always had what they call the South 56 League. That was Belpre, Lewis, Maxville, Garfield, Truesdale.
Was there Centerview? Did they have a school at that time?
Centerview and Felsburg had schools, but they was a different league. And they didn't have football. They used to play baseball in the spring and in the fall. And,
how many kids were in your graduating class? About
12 or 13. We kept track pretty well of most all of them. One girl moves in. Just as soon as school was out, moved to California, and we kind of lost track of her, but I'm sure she's deceased by now. She, last time we knew, she had arthritis real bad and had to move in with her sister. And she married a fellow who was in the Navy, and her name was Welling. She stayed with her uncle and aunt, kind of helped take care of them while she was going to school. And,
did you have, like, proms and a senior trip or anything like that?
Well, we had a senior trip. We went to Carlsbad Caverns on the trip we went, and then we had little money left, so we was going to go to Pike's Peak. We got out there, and well, a couple of boys, they decided they'd kind of act up, so that was it. We come home.
did you go on a train?
No. No, we had two. J.R. Woods was our sponsor. He was with the school system for coming 1924, 25, and I think he is still there, I think, in the 50s or close to it. And he was one of the furnished a car, and then my good friend Vern Thompson's mother went with us, and she had two little Ford cars, I think, and 37, 38 model cars, I think. How we all got in there, I don't know.
Was that your first time out of Kansas?
I don't think so. I think I'd been out a time or two. I'm sure I'd been in Oklahoma. Dad had some land in Oklahoma we hadn't seen. And I think we've been to Colorado once or twice.
Okay, I was reading, and it said that Truesdale was a consolidated school. Who did it consolidate? I mean, when it was built, it consolidated?
Well, had all these little country schools around, you know. And then there was a lot of those little country schools come together. I suppose that's what they meant by the consolidation.
So were there country schools close out in here, or?
Yeah, it was a country school. Wasn't there about 30 or some schools in the county back then?
We have Keith Chad's map. Have you ever seen that? It has these different schools and stuff.
I think they have that in the Lewis Centennial, too, I think.
Okay. Well, that might be a good question. Your father and his siblings, did they all go to school and graduate?
They walked to school, and there was a school down west of here, a mile and a quarter. They walked to school. And that was Fishers and the Parkers and the Fells and the Fosters and I don't know. There's quite a few old families that.
I noticed in this picture that there's no town. And then I read something that the town kind of moved to join the school.
The school was on the very east side of town.
It's on the very east side.
Mm-hmm. The east thing of town. There was one house just north of it. She's seen.
Yeah.
It was people named the Cook lived there. And he was a blacksmith. All the rest of it was back to the west, main town was.
What do you remember about the rest of Truesdale? What else was in the town?
Well, back when I was there, they had two grocery stores. Could have even had three. There was a fellow by the name of Cooey come in and build a frame building north of the old brick buildings, and he put in a grocery store there. They, of course, had a post office, had a bank, had a lumber yard, had a hardware store, sold international tractors and stuff. But back then, a lot of farmers sold machinery. The Cudney sold Massey Harris, and Fritz Schultz and Rodney Wilcox run the hardware and sold international. And Newt Ellidge down south, he had the Klee tractors. And I'm sure there's some others around, but it wasn't unusual for farmers to sell machinery.
And about how many houses was it in Tweedsville itself?
Oh, I don't know. Back before the Depression and before the railroad went out, there was an awful lot of houses in there. But then after the railroad went out, well, they moved an awful lot of them out.
And, where would they have been moved to? Like Lewis? Or?
Well, the parsonage is in Lewis, two houses north of the Methodist Church now on the east side of the road. I don't know who lives there, but that's was the old. And one house, Cudney House, it's north and west of Belpre. I can't remember who owned that. The land just sold here a year or so ago. I think George Miller, I think, bought that place. But that was another one. But they went to Kinsley and Greensburg, and I think that's the way it was when they started up. I think people bought houses and moved in, you know. They used to be in an old fella there in Truesdale that moved houses. His name was Will Keene.
And
Will Keene.
K-E-E-N?
Yeah. And he had an old house moving outfit. It was on steel wheels. And it, Dad had an old 30 Caterpillar that he farmed with. It was pretty big for back then. So he got in on helping move houses quite a bit because he'd get in situations where they couldn't pull it.
It must have been fun pulling him on the old ropes.
Yeah. I remember him telling about this house that English is up here on the hill at the end of the dead end. He helped move it down. It came from east of Hopewell, about 2 miles, and it's pretty sandy in there. He helped move that house in there for Curtis's. And then Curtis's, when he built the new house, sold it to English, and English moved it up there. But he said they got into trouble, and he had to go help them on that. And I said, he had all he wanted to do on that one, I think, because it was pretty sandy, and there were steel wheels just sunk in the sand. But I think they had to do a lot of maneuvering to get it where they wanted it. I don't remember. I don't remember doing it. They used to have stockyards and stuff there at Truesdale. They is on the railroad, of course, on the very east side of town. People would drive cattle up there and load them out. And I remember Dad bought carload of cattle. He and John Mayhew bought 2 carloads of cattle and brought in and loaded them there.
What year would that have been about?
Oh, I was back in the 30s, I expect. Because it had to be, because I think the line went out in 39. But Ron Schultz's granddad, George Schultz, he bought cattle. He drove around over the country and bought cattle, and then he'd bring them in there and ship them. And I think there's some pictures of them loading cattle out of the stockyards there somewhere. I've seen it. But,
how did the Depression affect your family?
Well, we was all poor. We didn't know any difference. We worked. Everybody worked. It was all kind of the same boat. And we all milked cows, and we separated the milk and sold the cream and used the skim milk to feed either hogs or bucket calves. And I remember the hogs, we'd always had oats or barley, or raised oats and barley and wheat and corn, and kind of mix it together and grind it. And you always had a 15-gallon barrel, kind of grease barrel. You know, cut the top out of it, and we'd always put it in there and soak that, put water in it and soak it, and then we'd use that to feed the hogs. Then. Mother'd always take eggs and butter and stuff to town and trade it for groceries. And I can remember the grocerman and always, several times anyway, would come out to Dad's, and Dad would have, back then, you was milking cows, you had most all your cattle was mixed up, had Jersey or Guernsey or something, and they give milk, you know. And a lot of times you'd have an old cow, you'd give quite a little milk, she'd have a real fleshy calf. Well, they'd come out and pick that calf out, and shoot it and butcher it right out there at the farm, and they'd take it to the town, and they'd have all them regulations they got now. But I remember doing that. Dad had that farm elevator on his place, and remember, that's where they butchered in the driveway of that elevator. And I can remember back when they had truck gardens down on the Rattlesnake Creek, and they raised a lot of watermelons and stuff. Of course, the end of the watermelon season, why? They needed to get rid of the watermelon. Dad go down, buy a truckload of watermelon. We'd load them up, and we'd take and feed them to the cows. And had stanchions with a trough in front, and take them little watermelon, splash them down in there. At times that would eat the heart out of the melons, you know, it'd be pretty good.
Did that change the milk?
No. But the old cow sure did like the melons. It's sweet and airy.
Did you go further than just high school, or did you just graduate and continue working on the farm, or did you ever leave?
Oh, I went. Folks thought I ought to go to college. I didn't want to go to college. But I went for a little while, but I got home, so I come home.
It seems like your grandparents and your parents thought education was important, didn't they?
Yeah.
Because everybody was
My educated. Dad didn't have much education. I look back, and I'm sure he had what they call this whatever it is, the dyslexia or whatever it is they have now. He had a lot of trouble. I don't think he had much more than a second grade education. But he sure excelled otherwise. And mother, her family, her older sister went to high school, Kinsley, and Lewis, Lewis or Kinsley, and graduated, that Mother never went past the eighth grade, that her uncle's wife died and left a little baby 6 weeks old. And so my grandmother raised her, and so my mother stayed home, kind of helped raise her. That was Mae Spence. And so she was about like an aunt to me, because my grandmother raised her. She was raised with my mother. My mother had oldest sister was Mrs. Roll Ogden, Bessie Ogden, lived over where Kenny Andrew lives now, and that was their place. And then Aunt Laura, that's Uncle Earl married her, and they lived here on this place. They had three kids, but then she died when she was, just right after the third child was born. And then there was Mother, and then he had a younger brother, Dean Kackendall, that lived in Greg Wood Farms, the place over there. Used to be a barn on the just on west of where Mull's headquarters is over here. It used to be a barn that they've since buried it this last year. But that's the old Kackendall place that this picture's from. And that's where Dean lived. And that house that was there is moved, and it's between the two branches of the Rattlesnake Creek down here, south on the Centerview Road, where Dick Rich lives. That's the house.
Well, when you got married, you brought your bride back here then?
Yes.
And did you live in the same house with your parents, or did you each have your
own? No, I lived in my grandparents' home. I have a picture of it in another room.
But they were no longer alive?
No.
Yeah.
No, they died in 39, and I wasn't married until 48. And several people lived in the house after that. It's the only church that was ever Truesdale. And it was kind of undenominational, I think, on the start, but then it went to the Methodist after that.
Well, it seems like everybody was related. So you didn't only need one church.
Yeah. But in that history of church, they wanted a church bad enough. I think when they first started out, they went to a little settlement of Prattsburg over, and then they kind of wanted a church over here, and so they solicited money, and they got the money and built a church that was free of debt when it was built. So they wanted a church pretty bad. Now we're kind of in the same predicament. We're building a church again.
Well, before we quit, I want you to talk a little bit about the tornado. What was your experiences, and how has it affected the community?
Well, it was pretty rough. It came awful close to me. It tore up my trees pretty bad. And the west side of my house was plastered with that little strips of bark. And I had two of my daylight windows broken and kind of roughed up my roof and loosened up my roof on the sheds. But just east of my trees, all the light poles from there, printer to the Howell Road, was gone, laying over the road. And of course, you know what Perry Oaks look like, and what it looks like today. Have you been by that?
Not recently. I was this summer. And
it's corn about ready to harvest off of it, where it was at.
And that's amazing that they got the fields cleaned out so that they could plant. That was a tremendous amount of work.
And had them big old D9 cats in there, just dug holes and buried it.
Was that what they did? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Burnt the house, what they could, and the barn and stuff, and just the tin and all the stuff that was there, you know, after what they could get out of the house and stuff that tried to save, which Fred says that the furniture and stuff all got wet, you know, and all the veneers all peeled and stuff that ruined the furniture.
Sure.
And
lost a lot of history, I imagine, too, that Jim.
Yeah.
How about the church?
We saved a lot of church. We've got all the cabinets and stuff down the basement, the chairs, the tables, and a lot of them took pews and stuff, and took things that they, you know, that they could salvage out of it. And so we'll have some of that to go back. But they left one of the plans for the new church in there. I've got it on the table. Yeah. I didn't know they was going to leave it, but they left it, so I don't know whether they meant to or not, but it's still here. It'll be here, I suppose, Sunday. But they're waiting on Rusty Strait for his estimate. And he called Sunday and said that he wanted to meet with him. I don't know whether they've met with the committee yet or not.
Are you going to use a metal building or a frame?
Well, they first thought that, but now this estimate, they got Shaler isn't a metal builder. And I don't know just what Rusty Straits will be.
Well, Rusty, my husband was an architect, and I know a lot of the things, you know, that Rusty does is metal.
Mm-hmm. That's from the old house.
The old house.
And the one that in the entry where he came in was
okay.
It, Nespo.
Was that a typical two-story old, like a Sears farmhouse? I mean,
I've got a picture of it in there. I have two pictures of it. But, it was quite a big house back then, I guess, but it had a outside door to every room, I think.
Oh, really?
Of course, back then, you know, it didn't have air conditioner or anything. It opened the door and let the breeze blow through. And always, Granddad was pretty stern. Of course, he had so many kids. We always had kind of a joke. Grandpa said something, they all had a door, they could get out quick.
When did you get electricity?
1928.
Did it come down the parallel here?
Or? Yeah. No, it come down from Belpre, a mile off of the oil road, a mile east of the oil road, down through the hills, and come down to Cudney's, and then come in half a mile, see, on the correction line, come to Truesdale, and then come a half mile south, and then come here to go to Fellsburg and Saturday. So it come right past here in 1928.
That was lucky. Wow. So you got it right away as soon
as
you could have it?
We lived just a half mile from that corner south of Truesdale. And Dad wanted it, he had light plant and stuff, and he wanted electricity, so he bought the line and paid for him to lay a line. And it was always said that if anybody ever connects to it, well, you'll get part of that money back. But it was many years after that that Dad was going to see somebody else get it. Schultz's, Roy Schultz's and Fritz Schultz's, and build on to it after. It's about the end of the line down there for the Kansas Power and Light. The rest of it's REA.
And so before that, you used ice for your refrigeration?
I think so.
You don't remember?
Well, I was only 5 years old, so. But I
wondered if they ever got ice out of the rivers, you know, and stored it like they used to.
Well, they had ice men that come around, had just brought ice around. Yeah, 100 pound piece of ice, and put it in your ice box. I don't know where they got the ice, but.
Well, right from the in Kinsley or Lewis.
It's a fellow named Albert Elmore. He used to live down here, kind of corner across the section. He used to be the ice man I know from out of Kinsley.
Okay, tell us about Mr. Elmore. What was his first name, you know?
Albert.
Albert?
He had a big family. I didn't know him much till after that time. He came here in the truck garden and then moved from here to about the time of World War II, he moved to Cherryville. But I remember him telling about delivering ice.
This is how we got started on this project. Somebody had questions about the Elmores. Can you tell us anything more about them so that we can share it with that family?
Well, one of the boys married a Monahan girl down here. When they moved to Cherryville with his folks. One of the boys was lost in the war. He's married here at Fellsburg. And he had a big family, and I've never seen anybody could work like he did. Could scoop what two or three men could scoop, and I don't know how he could do it, but he and that's the way he made his living a lot of times, unloading cars off the railroad cars and stuff, scooping coal or grain or something.
Was he a big man or just
no?
It's
just average.
Strong.
He wasn't. He just didn't look that strong or anything, but he had determination. I don't know how he could do it, but when he lived down here, he gardened and down on the around Rattlesnake truck garden. And then after he moved to Cherryville, he gardened down there. He'd come back through here and stop every once in a while. They lived just cut a corner across here. It was Zella White place, just cut in the corner of this section.
Just right here.
Mm-hmm. Kids went to school at Truesdale.
Yes, that's why we got started on this whole project.
One of the girls, Elra, graduated from Kinsley High School, but the boys graduated.
Well, they came from Kinsley down here, and then they went from here to Cherryville, for sure. But last time I seen Albert, he'd had some cancer here, and he'd had his jaw, a lot of it's missing. But he's been gone quite a while. But I didn't know him all that well, but I sure admired the way he could work.
Well, that will be a nice thing to tell the family, for someone to remember you by how hard a worker you were.
Yeah, that would be great.
And I probably in some of those books there, you see probably some of the Elmores in there.
Yes. Just yesterday we found him. Yeah.
Otto was the one that married the Monahan girl. I remember him. But he's been gone quite a while. She remarried and lost her second husband. So they lived. She lived down around. Oh, down in that neighborhood. It isn't Cherryville, but it's Traer or somewhere. So, yeah.
So then your children, where did they graduate from school?
Maxville.
They all went
Russell was in special ed. He had some problems. When he was a little fellow, he was in a student of orthopedics for 6 years. And then when he brought him home then, we didn't have any special age classes in Lewis or anywhere. So my wife drove to Larner back twice a day for 9 years. But he just passed away here August the 12th.
Hurried around and did some things,
yeah.
And then it'll be time to go back.
We were raising a lot of hogs then. We had over 1,000 head of hogs there at one time. And it was back when that blizzard come, when we still had leaves on the trees in October, you know. I had them. It's 25 acres. I had 25 acres of down grass out here, and I had it in 5 different pens and had in different stages. And didn't have, I just had little kind of sunshades, and that blizzard hit them, and I lost a lot of them. And a lot of them that.
What year was that?
It was around early 70s, I think. And I don't remember just exactly what year, but. What didn't die, a lot of them, I didn't realize the fat on their back would freeze. And it'd just crack open and stuff, and the hogs, feed them, and it didn't do any good. And that was bigger loss than the ones I lost. And then the price of hogs, I think, was 15 cents a pound then. I was glad to get out of them when we did.
Mm-hmm. That was the storm where it was 70, 80 degrees one day, mm-hmm. and the next mm-hmm. day, and that just ruined the trees too. I've only been here for 18 years, but that would have been in early 90s. We had one of those, and Ed had planted an orchard, and we lost the orchard. It came in on Halloween, and it had been 70. I like to see my trees. Did you have orchards or anything? Did you have?
Oh, we planted a few trees out here, but the peaches went out pretty quick. Had a few cherry trees, had peaches and pears, and still got a few pear trees. Had a couple apple trees, but
this climate's hard on us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course, I wasn't very good at spraying them. But,
you got to water on those off years, too.
Well, I've watered pretty good, but that peach curl got in and got most of my peach trees.
Mm. Well, let's see. Is there any other good family stories you want to tell us? Or?
Mm. Can't think too much of them.
We've covered a lot of territory. I'm amazed at your memory. Yeah. Really good memory. Yes.
Yeah, I'm blessed. My double cousins are both in rest homes, and one of them's Alzheimer's. Feel so sorry for him.
Yeah.
there for 11 years by myself now. Yeah, we, my wife and I, waited a long time for it. We finally, the old house got so bad that termites, we'd remodel and put picture windows in the north and south of the dining and living room. It was north to south. And the north one, I could tell it was picture window settling a little bit. All at once, one blistery cold, windy day from the north, it settled about that much. The curtains blew, the termites had ate out to where that heavy picture window come down. So we just about had to do something. Yeah. We'd wait a long time, and we my second son had five girls, and they was in and out a lot. We wanted a place for them, but, and they moved before my wife died, so I've got a pretty big house for just me.
That's all right.
It's yours. But I enjoy having church here. Yeah. People come in.
Now that's not all bad, is it?
No.
You know, it's bad to lose the old church, but it's not that all bad. It's a temple.
Yeah.
And then your daughter comes over, I understand.
We could have just split and went every direction, you know, where that's the only thing really that was keeping this community together. And we've got a nice community, a lot of nice people. And
how many attend the church?
We've had, I had about 28 here the other day, but there was a lot of them gone to the fair. And about 30. Sometimes they'll be up to 35, and sometimes they'll drop down to 28.
Now, does your minister serve another?
Maxville. Lives in Maxville. They have church at 8:30 in the morning. And have a social hour afterwards. Of course, here of late since the tornado, well, that's a business part, too. So, all together where we can talk business.
Do you stay around and eat together? Or?
Yeah, we have one person that's supposed to bring in refreshments and stuff. And you'd have a real nice little brunch.
You may miss it when you go back to having a church.
No, we have that at church anyway. We had that before.
You know, I was to the church once for your turkey dinner.
I think they're going to have their bazaar and stuff at the Catholic Church at Belper. They're building up there. They've offered that to us, so I think it's...
It's nice.
I think it's nice.
Can you think of anything else we need to know? We probably will after we leave, but... How, looking back over your life, how do you feel about your life or living here?
I feel like I lived an ideal time. I wouldn't trade my time or history for anything. It's been important to us. It's been good to us. We've tried to take care of it. We've had some rough times, but it's usually all stay with it. It comes out. And, of course, this irrigation has been a plus.
And, what I'm interested in rivers, what changes have you seen in the rattlesnake?
Rattlesnake just didn't anymore, other than when flood comes through. I think we had 12 floods this year. It comes down through. It's dry.
When you were young, could you go fishing in
it? Oh, yeah.
What kind of fish were in it?
Oh, carp, and catfish, mainly cat, cat carp.
I find that a great loss in western Kansas to see those rivers go.
Yeah, I can remember when 35, I think it was, I was staying with Wayne Schultz down there where Flex lived now, and Doris Schultz lived. And then that was a house before Fritz built the new one, and then built in 35, so I think that was about the same time. That rattlesnake was about a mile wide. I remember horses, seen horses out there trying to swim in it. Boy, one of them got tangled in a little fence, and under he went. I thought he was goner, but he finally come up and saved him. But I can still see an old gray horse struggling and going under in that water. But, then I stayed all night with Wayne, and we were sleeping upstairs, and she woke up. Mrs. Schultz come up and woke us up, and she, the water was coming through the house. Fritz and Lois had been down working all day, all night, jacking things up and trying to get them up, and seen it was gonna be a losing battle. So I had a hired man that had an old Model T, and I don't know, the exhaust come up and come through the spare tire somehow. He could come in quite a ways on that. Fritz had these hip boots, and he carried us out there in that old Model T and got us out of there. I can remember that. But they used to have gardens down there on that. They used to have what they called a Grimes garden. That was on what is the oil road now, where it crosses the rattlesnake on the south side. That used to be the Grimes Garden, and the Schultz Garden was down where Flix lived now, on the south side of the creek.
These were all truck gardens?
Yeah.
That they, for both their family use and to sell?
Yeah, it was mostly, it wasn't the people that owned the land, it was somebody else that did the work. There were several there on the Schultz Garden, Cecil McQueen, I don't know whether he finally did it, had a truck garden at Kinsley. And but he had he was about the last ones. The fellow by the name of Patton before him there on Schultz's. Frank Lamb was the one on Grimes Garden. And I remember people from Kinsley had always come down and get stuff at Grimes. And
did you use the river also for like picnicking and things like that?
Well, use groves mostly. This grove down here used to be called Crabtree Grove. It was on next section south, over next oil road. There's big cottonwood trees there, and then it used to be over the Gattamans. Over here where Robbie Cross lives. He used to go over there on school, picnics and stuff. And then it was always a big deal to, in school, to walk down the old railroad track and go down to what's called a railroad bridge, where the railroad crossed the rattlesnake east of Truesdale, about 2 or 3 miles.
Did you swim in the rattlesnake?
Some of them did. We lost two boys, and the Lane boy got drowned at on the railroad bridge, and then the Welsh boy drowned just south of Truesdale, just straight south of Truesdale. I think he had a camera. water well guy said that back sometime in history that this was the area in here was the bed of the rattlesnake from what's underneath us. It's the reason we get more of a charge whenever there's water in the Arkansas, our irrigation wells come up. We get a lot better charge than they do around us. And that's what some of these drillers drill these wells claim, that our structure underneath us gives us a little better water source than some north of us.
Do you still drill irrigation wells, or have they put a stop?
They put a stop several years ago.
That's what I thought.
And there's too many, and they're trying to get you to go back the other way.
Back to dry land.
Yeah, but not too many of you want to try that, you know. Unless you're old and want to give up or something.
And the farm, it will move on to your daughter, or you know?
Yeah, it'll go to my daughter and my grandkids.
And your grandkids. You got any farmers in those grandkids?
No. They're town kids.
It's harder to find farm kids anymore.
Yeah. And boy, some of them are farm kids too. You take these woods kids off, and even girls are wanting to farm.
Good. We need farmers.
Yeah. Yeah, there's girls that even wants to farm. And I think this is Schultz's. I think their kids is pretty farm oriented. Kevin Schultz's kids. They've married some chickens and stuff. You don't see people raising chickens much anymore.
We had a book talk Tuesday night on a book called The Egg and I. I don't know if you remember it, but it's about raising chickens. And we had several people share how you don't want to raise chickens.
Yeah. I never liked to raise chickens. I always had to, as my job when I was little, clean chicken houses and stuff. And you always had a chicken house that was so low, you always had to bend over, and I always bumped in my head. And I just, every time you go in there, they'd always fly, you know, and I didn't care for chickens. But we had chickens quite a long time after this marriage. Laying hens, and then we always raise chickens to put in the walker. But what kind of really cooked us on chickens was they had a snow spell, and that little chickens had electric brooder, no electricity. And we just gotten the little suckers, and we brought them in the house, put them right on the kitchen floor, put papers and everything down, put things around. That was all right for a little while. I think the electricity was off for a week, 10 days. And he got to fly in the little limb feathers, you know, flying around. And I remember a fellow named Wiley Jones worked for the co-op at Lewis. He used to live up in Nettleton. He found out he had a propane brooder stove, and he'd sell it to me. So, but he said, I don't know, you probably can't get to it. Well, I got within a mile and a half of it, and I walked over there. It was up in a loft of a barn, and I got two poles, and I found some string, and put it together, and I put it on its back on those poles, and I drove that a mile and a half.
Where there's a will, there's a way, isn't it?
Yeah, had to be something to get them chickens out of the house. So we had propane after that. But that kind of sickness out on chickens. We had didn't have too long after that. But Joe says they bring eggs to church every day. That's where they people have.
So you get your fresh eggs.
Mm-hmm.
That's great if they want to do it.
Well, this has really been interesting. Thank you very, very much for sharing with us.
Well, I don't know whether I've done you any good or not.
Oh, yes. Well, you brought up the name, which we hadn't even thought about asking. Had you gotten to that yet?
No, I hadn't thought of that.
And like I said, that's how we actually got started on this Elmore. And so you even helped us out there with not knowing.
Yeah, that's one Elmore that got killed in the war. He was in the Air Force. I know right where his grave is, pretty close to West Drive on the east side, about midway. Right, not too far from
it. We brought our picnic lunches. So we were going to go somewhere in the cemetery and take a few pictures and eat a picnic lunch. So it's on the where, though?
It's right along the drive on the right-hand side, and you go in the West Drive. And
West
up,
Drive.
It's up pretty close to the evergreen tree.
Okay. A small, flat?
Yeah, flat stone. Yeah.
Okay. Well, we might go take a picture for these people then. As long as you're up
there was an elk. We have, recently we haven't had it, but we've always had every couple of years we'd have Truesdale days and have people come in. And there was an Elmore girl came to that. They were one of the last ones we had. And my friend that we ran around together with, Noreen Monahan down here, I think went to school with one of them. And she probably knows, could tell you more about back. But they lived on what was called the Zella White place. Lived over there. No place there anymore. But it years ago it was Zella White's folks, it was Elliot's then, and Marlon Butler's mother was an Elliot. And, it was Donovan over that over west there. She was an Elliot, and Mrs. Mrs. Lloyd Miller was a Mrs. Mother was an Elliot. Mrs. Harry Shannon. I was trying to think how the Millers, because I knew that
he would be a good genealogy librarian.
He certainly would.
Well, again, we thank you very, very much. We've taken up 2 hours of your time, and we're going to, if you will let us borrow some things, we'll take
them.
Well,
you're sure welcome to any about it.
Okay,
I just like to have it back when you get through with it.